Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Sports update.
The update from One Bills Drive. The Bills practicing outdoors today. It is 26 degrees and cloudy here in Buffalo. Sunday in Florida, it'll be 50 degrees warmer. 75 and sunny. Bills beat the Dolphins here 31-21 in Orchard Park last month. This Sunday will be Ryan Fitzpatrick's fifth starting quarterback since he returned to the lineup for Miami, and that happened at Buffalo last month. Head coach Brian Flores says Fitz is the starter for the foreseeable future. Fitzpatrick will be on the show with us about 1 hour from now. Veteran rest days today for linebacker Lorenzo Alexander and offensive lineman Ty Insecki. The referee Sunday, Scott Novak. The Bills and the Dolphins coming up Sunday. Got the game for you right here on our flagship radio station in Buffalo, WGR Sports Radio 550. Bills Week 16 game is now a Saturday game. The NFL made the announcement yesterday. Three Saturday games on December 21st. The Bills in New England, 4:30 kickoff that Saturday. When the schedule came out, they left it open Saturday or Sunday. They decided to have the Bills play on Saturday. NFL teams were told yesterday that a private workout will be held for free agent quarterback Colin Kaepernick this Saturday in Atlanta. It will include on-the-field work and an interview. All teams are invited to attend. Video of both the workout and the interview will be made available to the teams as well. Saquon Barkley of the Giants is not 100%, but he's still not going to accept being shut down. With the Giants just 2 wins and 8 losses and need to get going, Barkley had an x-ray on his shoulder after their loss to the Jets. The shoulder is expected to be fine. There's time for him to recover. The Giants have their bye week, and Barkley says when they're playing, he will be back. Sabres practicing today at KeyBank Center. The Sabres host Carolina tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. On Saturday, they are home against Ottawa on Saturday night at KeyBank Center. And the Bisons have a new manager. Their parent club, the Blue Jays, announced today that they've picked Ken Huckabee as the manager of the Bisons for the upcoming season. A former big league catcher, he'll be the 21st manager in the Bisons' modern era. Did I say that word wrong? Era?
Era is right.
Era? What did I say? Era?
I think you said deprecate. I'm not sure.
I'm trying to help you live that down. Now you keep bringing it up.
Yeah, it's so
You're like Sam Darnold talking about seeing ghosts.
Right.
You're never going to let that one go.
I can't get a go.
On the line with us right now. Happy to have him, too. Wednesdays at 1 o'clock is the time we talk with ESPN NFL insider Field Yates. He's on the line. Hello, Field. John Murphy and Steve Tasker up here in Buffalo. You missed some good moments in the first hour when Steve, should I tell him?
No.
Steve was trying to, we were talking about Ryan Fitzpatrick. Steve was trying to say he was self-deprecating, and it came out self-defecating, which is not really how Fitz.
I'm not even sure what self-defecating would actually entail.
I got a pretty strong idea, but, you know, needless to say, it's not the message I was trying to get through. Yeah. But thanks for coming on, Field. What do you think about this Bills this week after that Browns loss?
Yeah, here, guys. And on paper, the Bills should be winning on Sunday against the Miami Dolphins. But the Dolphins now have a winning streak of 2 games. They've shown they're tough. They've shown themselves to be resilient. They also have a talent gap, though. That's the reality for the Bills. And, you know, early on this season, when people were poking holes in the Bills' schedule, people would say things like, who have they played? And my retort on this show and otherwise was, they don't make the schedule. And the sign of a good team is one that beats the teams they should. They beat both the Jets and the Giants at MetLife Stadium. They beat the Bengals. They beat the Redskins. I get it. None of those teams are scaring the bejesus out of anybody. That being said, you got to beat them. Last week was one where they gave it away. They should have beat the Browns. I believe they are the most talented team. Certainly, they had a chance to win that game last week, obviously with a fourth quarter lead. They need to make sure the games like Sunday are an aberration, not a trend, because although last week was tough, they're still right in the thick of the playoff race. They should win this game on Sunday. And I know that the coaches can't go into that with that mindset. They can't tell the players that we show up on Sunday and we just win. There's a lot more that goes into it. But I just think from our point of view, I think the expectation going into this game is this is a game that they can take care of. And if they do, there's something to build off of. 7 wins in 10 games is a really positive start for any NFL team in a season.
Hey, Field, there's no mystery about Buffalo's struggles. It's offense. And McDermott admitted it minutes after the game Sunday, we need to score more points. At this, and we're not late in the season, but we're in the second half. What can a team do to expect to get better offensively? There's, you know, Jerry Rice isn't walking through that door, as they say.
Yeah. I don't want to say give up hope because that's ridiculous, right? I mean, you've got how many more games? 7 games left to play just in the regular season. I think you have to also deal with the reality that this is not going to be anything. It's not going to be the Ravens. They're not going to be the Chiefs this year offensively. I think, and I'm sure I'm sort of just beating the same drum that so many others have been beating, is there are a couple of subtle changes that might make some sense. I think that Devin Singletary is a player that's earned more and more playing time. Now, I understand the need to kind of balance out his talent with the fact that you do have Frank Gore still and that Devin Singletary has been banged up, but it seems like he is the type of player that when the football is in his hands, he brings good things. And there's a reason why Robert Foster did not play or did not have a catch until this past week. Now, I don't know all the reasons behind that, but obviously, there's something the coaching staff is not seeing or has not seen up to this point. That being said, he is sort of like microwavable offense, right? You put it in the minute, put it in the microwave for a minute, and next thing you know, you have a full cooked meal. In this case, it's a long touchdown. So you would like to think that Robert Foster's explosive plays could find a way to be more of a weekly focus for the Bills. The fact that he got on the catch board last week was a good start, and we all remember how explosive he was last year. He was their receiving group towards the back half of the season, so would not be, at least in my estimation, a bad idea to involve Robert Foster a bit more in the weekly game plan.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. Do you think it's – and we're the fans and us here on this show, we're kind of focused on Josh Allen and some of the things he's doing well, some of the things he's not well. The ball is still in – and it's in a close game, as I made this point a few minutes ago, that – you always look at the guy who can affect it most as being the biggest difference is the reason why, particularly in a close loss. And that's what we're looking at with Josh Allen.
No question. And how much in-season upward trajectory is there for Josh Allen? I think it's a fair question to ask because, you know, week 9, you kind of are what you are at some spots, and it's not like you play multiple quarterbacks, right? So if you have a running back that's struggling or an offensive lineman that's struggling, you might just sub that player out because you have other options on the roster. You are who you are with one quarterback in this league. And Josh, you know, I still remain of the mindset that he is now a year and a half into his NFL career, and there's a lot of room for him to grow. The problem is when you're 6-3 and you're in the playoff mix and you have a chance to at least get into the dance this year, then fans, and understandably so, and followers of the team don't want to hear excuses about the quarterback and being on schedule with his development. Josh, I think, has to be a bit more assertive. A bit more consistent. Turnovers need to be eliminated, as is the case for every quarterback, but accuracy is what it's going to come back down to for Josh Allen, and he just needs to make more accurate throws consistently. That's a very boiled-down version of what needs to get better, but ultimately, if you're a quarterback in the NFL, that's an easy place to start. Let's work on the nitty-gritty first.
Right. Field Yates, our guest, he is ESPN's NFL insider. We're going to talk about fantasy football in a couple of minutes with Field. Let's talk about the Dolphins. You know, they have won 2 in a row. I was telling people here at work today, the guys I work with here, Field, that, yeah, they're playing better, but, boy, I don't know if their roster is any better. In fact, I think they lost some pretty significant players in the last month since the Bills beat them by 10 points here. What do you think?
Yeah, they have, but what they have lost in talent, they have found a way to just play better. And I think part of what's happened with Miami is that at the beginning of the season, it was a matter of who was actually going to be around. Minka Fitzpatrick was traded. Kenyon Drake was traded. Obviously, Laremy Tunsil was traded before this season. But we've seen a lot of guys moved on in Miami. Now you are who you are. Not only have, you know, most of the most desirable players been traded, but the NFL trade deadline is behind us. So it's no longer a game of showing up to work and wondering, all right, is this player who has a locker next to me even going to be around next week? This is who the team is. And I don't want to say that the tank for Tua movement is over. They still could finish with the number one pick in the draft. But if you look at the NFL right now, I think it's clear they are not the worst team in the NFL based off of the way they play and their coaching and their preparation. That being said, I still look at this as a game that the Bills need to win on Sunday. And I know that I'm stating the obvious there, but I still think the Dolphins, for as much progress as they've made, you know, still some limitations for this team. They can be run against. They have a secondary that still needs to reinforce a lot of several spots. So if there was a game for the Bills passing game to get on track, this is it.
You know, I hate the concept of a tank field. I hate to acknowledge a tank. It appeared that's what the Dolphins were doing, and our buddy Armando Salguero, he's on the show with us tomorrow. He wrote a pretty interesting column the other day in the Miami Herald about how it's almost like a two-level thing in Miami now. Like Coach Flores and his players ignore the tank. They don't care about a tank, where the upper levels of management are all in on the tank. That cannot be a productive or healthy atmosphere in Miami if, in fact, that's what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, I actually think it sort of can be in this sense. Here's why. Is that on the one hand, it's true. Like, it probably is true. The coaches need to be worried about their day-to-day livelihood and making sure the players are ready. On the other hand, like, the front office sort of can take a bigger picture view, because ultimately they need to find a way to, you know, to do what's best for the franchise going forward. So I actually think it can work. Oof. It's a really delicate balance, but I think they found it. I think it actually wasn't working at the beginning of the season because some of the factors I talked about, how you just don't know who's going to be there week to week. But I do think this stretch of the year, the Dolphins have found that balance. Like, Brian Flores knows what the deck that he has been dealt is, and they're making the best of it going forward.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you, how much credit does Brian Flores get for turning it around with, what, 70% of a depleted roster that he thought he was going to get, that was depleted even further after he thought he had his roster set? I mean, it got worse after the season began for these guys, and it's gotten worse during this season with the injuries. How much credit does Brian Flores get for a two-game winning streak with this crew?
Yeah, a ton, and really a ton. And what I would say is, I think sometimes we just sort of, because I was thinking about this a lot recently with people asking about Coach of the Year candidates, and then also spinning things forward to who are some of the most desirable head coaching candidates for 2020. And one thing I realize is that although we have 32 NFL head coaches and we sort of assume generally that they do the same thing, it's clear that every team has a different need from their head coach, and that coach's job can vary year to year. The role for Brian Flores this year, he's obviously a defensive-minded head coach, but he has a defensive coordinator in Pat Graham that he implicitly trusts. They have been working together, or did work together, for a long time prior to this year. But a huge part of what Brian Flores has had to do this year is instill belief into the players that what they're doing is actually going to work, that you can buy into what is being sold right now, which is the elusive, yet sometimes we have to admit it, tanking. And I think that Brian Flores' ability to keep things on track, to keep the players playing hard, to prevent a tank that includes a lack of effort is really impressive. Now, they're 2-7, and they probably will finish with somewhere between 3 and 5 wins this year. That's not going to get them Coach of the Year consideration, but I still think that you can look at, let's say they finish 4-12. It might be the most admirable 4-12 job or admirable job of any coach that's won somewhere between 2-6 games that we've seen in quite some time.
Okay. Hey, one more question about the Dolphins I have for you, Field, and it's about Steve and I are both very fond of Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's coming on with the show this next hour. From a career standpoint, from a big picture standpoint, and you can talk to this because you've been around the league for a while, I said this to my buddy Steve here earlier in the show, Fitz has some kind of unique accomplishments in his career, not Hall of Fame credentials, but to start and throw a touchdown pass for 8 different teams. He's 2 touchdowns away from throwing 200 for his career. I think he's one of 8 players to do that. I mean, he's going to have an interesting resume when it's all said and done, what he accomplished in the league. And again, there's no place for him in Canton, Ohio. He would admit that. But boy, in terms of NFL history, I think he's done something special here with his career, hasn't he?
He really has. He's going to be like the last baseball pitcher who also bat or something like that, or a super utility player in baseball, someone who just continually found value, provided value to his roster. Never the star, never the guy that you built the franchise around, but a player who always was good enough to help you out in a pinch. And so many people revere Brett Favre for his football accolades because they are basically as good as there is for the quarterback position ever. But we also always talk about how much Brett Favre loved the game. And not that Ryan Fitzpatrick has had Brett Favre's career at all. But don't you think that he reminds me of Favre in his pure enjoyment of football? Mm-hmm. Fitz seems to have a blast every time he is out there. Sometimes people might perceive it as carefree. I look at it as passionate. And the guy is, I really think he's a warrior. I think he's incredibly tough. I think his teammates respect the heck out of him. I've really enjoyed the various chapters of Ryan Fitzpatrick. And I think that when Brian Flores decided to go with Fitz, people pushed back on it. And I think it has proven to be a really wise choice for them.
Yeah, I will agree with you. He's going to come on our show in the next hour. And I got to ask you, let's take a little trip around the National Football League. All 32 teams may be represented in Atlanta this weekend on Saturday for Colin Kaepernick's workout that was set up by his agent and the NFL. They've all been invited. What do you make of this workout with Colin Kaepernick, and do you think he'll get signed?
Yeah, it's a layered conversation. So here's what I would say is that is it better than no workout? Yes. Is this perfect? No. Could I have thought of a perfect solution? Not necessarily. But what I think it does, and there are a lot of ways to look at this, is I think from the NFL standpoint, it's showing that it's not stagnant on this matter, right? It's at least in their eyes, might be somewhat of a gesture of goodwill. Beyond that, I think from a team standpoint, it's exposure to Colin Kaepernick, right? That's important because quarterback, it's not like there's a ton of great quarterbacks available. And if they go in there and they see a player that they view is capable of helping them be better, then they might, there's a chance he is signed. I think it's still a small chance, but still. It also is, I don't want to sound so, I don't want to sound so pessimistic about it, but I think it's fair that people have noted this is sort of cover for the NFL too, right? And for teams in some ways. So if a team separate from this previously wanted to sign Colin Kaepernick, it would have been viewed as very bold and audacious to even work him out, much less sign him. Now everybody's going to have exposure to him. So if someone signs Colin Kaepernick following this workout, I don't think there's quite as much sticker shock as there would have been up until this point. I think it'd be very interesting to see who actually shows up from each team because I think most every team will be represented. I don't think there'll be head coaches there just because it's Saturday before a game. Obviously, there are four teams on a bye, but even that might be a long shot. Maybe some general managers, but I think this will be a lot of scouting, scouts, area scouts, pro scouts, regional scouts that happen to be based in the Southeast, things like that, that I think will end up being the vast majority of it for Colin Kaepernick.
Got another quarterback question for you, Field. Are the Jaguars making the right move, plugging Nick Foles right back in the starting lineup in place of Gardner Minshew? What do you think?
I think so. I think he's the leader of the team. I think he's the player that you signed to be the, he could take your offense to new levels this offseason. I think so. Does it come without risk? No, of course not. That being said, I do think this was the right move. Nick Foles has worked incredibly hard to earn this opportunity, and Gardner Minshew, even if Gardner Minshew provides three and a half years of backup quarterback duty to you behind Nick Foles, I think it's totally fine. I think it's totally and entirely fine for the 178th pick in the draft. Excellent value, and if Nick Foles comes back and struggles massively, well, then you've got a quarterback waiting in the wings and Gardner Minshew that could help you potentially make a playoff push because that division, even though it looks like Houston is the cream of the crop, is still pretty close.
Yeah. How good was the Seattle Seahawks 49ers game on, I guess it was Sunday night this week? Really good game, and Jadeveon Clowney really showed up in a big way for the first time in Seattle.
Yeah, game of the year, in my opinion. I've really, really enjoyed it and thought it was just there was some interesting moments down the stretch, right? It almost felt like each team was trying to give it away to the other. Late in the fourth quarter and overtime, but that's football, and it's about how you bounce back. And I thought it was a really impressive showing from Russell Wilson, really impressive showing from the 49ers defense for the most part. And Jadeveon Clowney, as you mentioned, that's his moment right there. That's the best moment of his Seahawks career, and a reminder that, sacks are not the only way to measure a defensive lineman or a pass rusher's impact. He was all over the field. Showed incredible agility and athleticism to scoop and score that football for the touchdown, in the way that he did so easily. So A key win for Seattle. They're certainly a team that's going to be heard from come January.
Field Yates, ESPN NFL Insider, also a fantasy football expert on NFL on ESPN. You want to get to fantasy questions, Steve, or you got something?
I was going to ask him, too. One last thing I got to ask you about around the league. The most amazing season I think a quarterback's having, I know that Russell Wilson is really knocking it out of the park in Seattle, but Lamar Jackson is doing some things we've never seen anybody do before. Do you think that's going to be enough to – is he changing the game like it looks like he might be, and is it enough to win him the MVP if it keeps up?
If he keeps this up, he's got an outstanding shot at winning the NFL MVP. To me, it's a two-horse race right now between he and Russell Wilson. In terms of changing the game, the reason why I say no is because they don't make Lamar Jacksons, right? They don't make a bunch of these type of quarterbacks that are incredibly athletic in the way that he is. Like, if you look at the top quarterback prospects coming out of this year's class, the early returns suggest it's Tua Tagovailoa out of Alabama and Joe Burrow out of LSU. Both good athletes, but neither one of them are nearly the player athletically that Lamar Jackson is. And then when you go to guys like Justin Herbert from Oregon, definitely not the athlete that Lamar Jackson is. So he might be changing the way that teams have to account for him this year, but I don't think that all of a sudden next year we're going to have five Lamar Jackson-type quarterbacks because he's rare athletically. He truly is rare.
All right, fantasy football questions. We take them on Twitter for Field Yates. We'll zip through these from Jack. He tweets in for a flex, Jarvis Landry or Tevin Coleman? And he says, thank you, Field.
Well, you're quite welcome. I would go with Tevin Coleman. That Steelers defense has been no joke since the start of week four.
All right, from Jay, he says, Mark Andrews or Brian Hill for a flex, and Hunter Henry in my tight end spot.
Ooh, I would go with Hunter Henry and then Brian Hill, who looks to be the next man up in that Falcons backfield.
A tweet from JB, Bills defense at Miami or Minnesota defense against Denver? What do you think?
I would go with the Bills' defense against Miami. The Bills' secondary still has yet to allow a 100-yard receiver. I know the run defense hasn't been great, but the Dolphins' running offense is about as poor as there is in the NFL.
All right, from SP, it's a PPR league. Tyrell Williams versus Cincinnati, Jared Cook at Tampa, or Kenny Galladay versus Dallas. And that, I guess that's a no-brainer if Stafford's playing, right?
Well, it's a no-brainer if Stafford's playing, but even if he's not playing, as we saw last week, Kenny Galladay, what a special player he is. He is tremendous for Detroit.
Can I ask you a dumb question, Field? What's a PPR league?
Points per reception. So if you have five catches, you get five additional points. One day, Murph, we're going to get you playing all kinds of fantasy.
Yeah,
Steve, you're going to start your own league.
Field, thanks for this. Great talking with you. Thanks for all of your insight. We'll do it again next week.
All right, guys. Talk to you next week. Right,
Field Yates, fantasy football expert. He is ESPN NFL Insider. I admit it. Did you know what PPR is?
No.
We're neophytes. That's why we want you to tweet in the
question. But I applaud your interest in the vernacular of the sport in
trying
which we
learn.
Cover.
Trying to learn just a little bit. What have we learned from today's show? We learned what PPR is.
Yeah, that's right. Here's the thing, too. If I start to learn more about it and I start to – like some spark of competitiveness comes back into me, I'll start doing this, and then the show will go down. The show will take a back burner.
You.
The family will leave me. I'll stop eating.
We're talking about the real football, the Bills and Josh Allen. Where do you see his progression after 20 NFL starts? We want to hear from you. Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. We haven't read any tweets yet on the tweet sheet. We'll do that. We got Ryan Fitzpatrick coming up in about 30 minutes. So stick around. We got a ways to go here and a lot of good stuff coming up. One Bills Live presented by Kalata Health, live from the Seneca Studio in Orchard Park on Buffalo Bills Radio. The show's called One Bills Live. It's me and it's Steve Tasker. I'm John Murphy. We're coming to you live from the Seneca Studio inside the AmPro Sports Training Center. Outside the AmPro Sports Training Center, practice continues. It's a cold day out there. It's cold even in the field house, Steve. But there they go.
Yeah.
75 degrees in Miami.
I think it has some more to do with the surface they're practicing on than it does
grass.
The environment.
So. Gotcha. Yeah. Our question today, question of the day, what do you think about this? Josh Allen, right? The focal point of everybody's attention. Struggled, I think that's fair to say, against the Cleveland Browns last Sunday. Where do you see Josh's progression after 20 NFL starts? Where is he in his progression in the NFL? Give us a call. Let's talk about it. 803-0550. Toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Let's take a few calls. Ariello in New England. You're on the air with us. Where are you calling from, Ariello?
I'm calling from Rhode Island. How you doing, guys?
From where?
Rhode Island.
Rhode Island. Okay, excellent. We'll be there around Christmas time for the Bills game. Yeah, love Rhode Island.
Yeah. So how's it going? I live actually 15 miles from Gillette Stadium.
Okay. Wow, there you go.
I've been a Bills fan since, you know, I can remember. So Jim Kelly in the years, and the four quarterbacks we've had that I can remember, Trent Edwards, E.J. Manuel. I think that Josh Allen is, I think he's going to be it.
What do you see? What's the most notable thing you've noticed? What is the most noticeable aspect of his game that's improved for you?
I just think he has it all. I mean, he moves well. He's got the arm strength. I think they put a lot on him. I think the Bills' offense has been predictable with the run. Hmm. We had them have Singletary for 6 weeks. I mean, Gore, the defense was sitting back waiting for the deep ball. And they're going to give you the 3-yard run, the 4-yard run. He's not going to break an 80-yard run on you. He's great, but the defense, they know that. They're sitting back waiting for the deep ball. And that's just what it's been. I think he doesn't have the 6'3 wide receiver. I love John Brown. He's a 1A. He's not a 1. He's a 1A. Beasley runs great routes. Got a good receiving core. I think he's missing a 6'4 frame guy like a Bernard Hopkins. Well, and get him the ball. I haven't seen a Bills receiver go up and get a contested ball. You know what I mean? Those balls are not, you see it throughout the NFL, the highlights. Receivers go up and grab these balls, save the quarterback hand there. Mm, I don't, yep. They're bailing him out.
I wonder, Steve, thank you for your call, by the way, Aurelio. Duke Williams can play that role, right? And he hasn't played for a couple of weeks. What do you think's that?
Yeah, he was inactive this last week, and I don't know.
Before, too.
I think that there's it's interesting how they have rotated the bottom of the wide receiver roster on game day with with Duke Williams, with
Isaiah
McKenzie, and Robert Foster. Those three guys being up and down, and it's been, you know, the constants have been, well, who's it been? It's been John Brown and Cole Beasley and Andre Roberts, because Andre Roberts obviously is a return guy. And then the other two guys at the bottom, Isaiah McKenzie, Foster, and Williams, those guys have been rotated through, and it's we haven't really ever gotten that there was a pattern to it or anything. It seems to be game plan specific. And the last couple of weeks, it has not been Duke Williams.
You know, Aurelio on the phone pointed out what he saw, and I don't know if I agree with it entirely, as a shortcoming of the wide receiving corps. They don't go up and get balls. Duke Williams is that guy. And, you know, we saw it in the Tennessee game. He scored an important touchdown there. But I'm not sure where they're at with that group, and especially, as Steve said, at the bottom end of that group. Call here from Dominic in Jacksonville, Florida. Hello, Dominic. You're on the air.
Hey guys. How we doing?
Good.
Take my call, Steve Murphy. First of all, I just wanted to say I'm pretty fired up. My wife and I, we're going to be down in Miami watching the game. We got front row seats right behind the Bills bench.
Excellent. Great.
So I'm definitely a Josh supporter. Admittedly, I feel like I've been defending him since the Senior Bowl. But to me, I think everybody needs to just kind of wait a little bit. I think his progression's been totally fine. We're in a little funk right now, the whole team is, but if sometimes when we look at the negatives, we forget to look at the positives. Every game, this guy makes throws and, you know, sticks bullets in between two defenders. He makes throws that just sometimes I think we take those for granted and miss the overall game that this guy has. In the way he moves, touchdowns in the red zone that he runs in. When's the last quarterback we have that ran in as many touchdowns in his 20 games Josh Allen has?
So. Dominic, you're making really good points, and I agree with you. And I think, Steven, and we talked about it when we kind of devised this Twitter question, this show question today, where do you see his progression? I think you'd be hard-pressed to say he is not better than he was a year ago at this time, right? He is clearly better, right?
Yeah.
Make that argument to me that he's regressing. I don't think he is at all. I think he's a much better quarterback than he was 12 months ago.
Maybe on a week-to-week basis he'll take it. Like,
yeah, there's
ups and downs. He didn't play as well against the Browns as he did, say, against the Dolphins or somebody else on the schedule. He does go up and down week to week, but I think, as we've said, he seems to be in an upward trend, gradual, baby steps, no question. Sometimes you see some things that make you encouraged, and sometimes you see things that frustrate us. But I think he's getting better and better, and I said it early in the show. There are a couple of things he did last week that let you know he's seeing things pre-snap. And Chris Brown, our Bills insider, who gave us a hit, live hit from practice today on our program, said he seems to be seeing everything pre-snap just the way he should, but it's post-snap that's still happening a little too fast for him. And one of the things that occurs to me when I say that, Murph, we've had all these veteran quarterbacks come through different teams, and I covered them for CBS. They'll say, listen, when you start seeing these teams for the second time, for the third time, then it starts to slow down for you. It'll mm-hmm. be interesting to see if this Miami defense will get a little slower or he'll do some things he wasn't able to do the first time because it looks familiar to him. It'll be interesting to see if he plays better against a team the second time
around. First time he's played somebody twice this year, right?
So yeah, he's played the Dolphins last year, but that was a different coaching staff, different philosophy, different defense. So this is the first team he's going to get a second look at in one season.
He's had his best games against the Dolphins. We talked about that
game he had last year in week 17. He dominated in the finale. Threw for three, ran for two.
Yeah, he's only played against him three times. The finale was amazing. Last December at Miami, the game that took a piece out of our heart. He threw two touchdown passes, should have ran for 135 yards in that game. And the heave to Charles Clay just missed winning the game. He's played his best games against Miami.
That game and the Houston game down in Houston still bother me.
I know they do.
That's a team that those are two games, two plays take you to 8-8 on that year, and all the ramifications go with it. But this is a different. You have a different feel about your team when you're 8-8 than you do when you're 6-10. I think, don't you? And I think
history, Steve.
It is.
It's 6-3 now.
But that's also. But I'll tell you this too. Think about that. Those plays last year. They're hitting more of those this year. Obviously, they're 6-3 instead of they're 6-2 coming into last week instead of 2-6 where they were at the halfway point last year. They're in much different place because they're hitting more of those plays. And I think we talked about the margin of error. You know, two missed field goals this last week was the margin of error. They couldn't cover that. But that's still a bigger margin of error than they've had in a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
You're right. Call here from Stan in Buffalo. Hello, Stan. Go ahead. You're on the air with us. Stan?
Hey, how you doing today?
Okay.
Good. Go ahead.
Good, good. Just want to jump in. I know we spoke Monday about certain things as far as progression at Josh. I like the progression. There's a couple things that stick out. I think the way to move his progression forward personally is it's got to be personnel. I just you brought Duke Williams off the practice squad, and now you sat him two games. One play that really sticks out to me that I think personnel helps is there was a play in the game. I don't know if it was the third quarter or when it was, but Andre Roberts was in the slot, ran a good route, but hesitated, and Josh had him threw a 98-mile-an-hour fastball, and Andre was like, oh, I hesitated, and boom. And
it was a little slant.
Duke,
yeah.
Yeah, that was a slant. Yeah. I think if Andre actually breaks out of that heart, he's still running back to Buffalo right now.
Right.
He's Forrest Gump. He's just it's gone. But if you got the wide receiver, like a Duke or an Isaiah in that slot, I think Andre's a great, great return guy, obviously. But I think he's your last choice to put in as a receiver slot. I think I don't know why we're sitting and only playing five wide receivers.
Well, these are good questions.
I don't know why.
These are good questions.
You guys, but I think it's personnel. I think we sit Lee Smith, and I think we bring in the young guns and run Sweeney, Knox, and Eifert, and start doing some mini K-gun, mini hurry-up offense, and I think Josh feels comfortable that way.
Yeah, Stan, you got a lot of ideas, and some of them are pretty good, and you make some good points too. I don't know about the K-gun or the hurry-up, but I do think this. Josh is at a point in his development now, and we haven't talked about this aspect of it. He can be helped by the guys around him, by Andre Roberts and stuff, and I would venture to guess there are real solid reasons why a coaching staff is churning the bottom of the wide receiver group from week to week, and why Duke Williams is not active this week and Isaiah McKenzie is, and vice versa, and Robert Foster is up and he's down. There's some real reasons for that, and I think a lot of the problems with the offense being inconsistent is lack of execution, where you've got guys maybe running the wrong route, guys maybe making the wrong read, guys maybe Josh is better than we think he is, and the guys out there aren't playing as well as we think they are, or as well as it looks like. There may be some of that going on. And I think at this point in Josh's development, my point is these guys can help him a little bit by being perfect in what they do, their adjustments, their routes, and all of that. And I think hopefully for all of us, you want Josh to be one of those quarterbacks that elevates their play. I don't think he's there yet. I don't think he's there yet. But I think ultimately it could be a reverse role, and you know, he can elevate the play of the wide receivers around him. I think the good quarterbacks are able to do that, and certainly when you have the best guys out there, when you have great wide receivers and an elite quarterback, you know, you're tough to stop.
Let's get some tweets in. We've had a lot of good responses to our question. Where do you see Josh Allen's progression after 20 NFL starts? We go to the tweet sheet brought to you by Corrigan Moving Systems, the official movers of the Buffalo Bills. Bills fan 12-83 writes in, well, Josh is nowhere near he needs to be, but he is being coached well and is accepting coaching. He seems to be trying to become the pocket passer you need in the NFL. Play smart to be great in the future. For now, I'm with Steve. This is our team. Get used to watching games like this. Okay. You can.
He said it right. Yeah. I can hug this team.
You can hug him. You can also hug him and say, let's get better.
Yeah.
Let's score more points.
But I know this. The trade deadline's gone. They're not drafting anybody. Nobody's walking through the door. These are the guys you're going to have to live and die with. And I'd rather be happily on this 6-3 wagon that they're on and see what happens.
You can hug them and say, we need more points from this group.
I think the points are in there somewhere. I think this group is good enough talent-wise. Execution-wise, they're not. And that comes down to stuff that they do on the field. Like today, days like today. Today is when they can start to win in Miami this weekend. And I think that's where all the nuts and bolts get put in. And I think that's one of the things, when you get in these tight games, it's the details of days like a Wednesday and a Thursday and a Friday practice that win games on Sundays. And I think that's what needs to be as good as anything about this team. Or if anything needs to change, if indeed it isn't going the way they want it to, I think it starts on days like during the week that we're seeing today.
Really good point coming up on the next tweet on the tweet sheet from Nikki, who says, Allen definitely needs to get better, but there was a time when quarterbacks developed behind a veteran for years before starting. If Josh Allen does not get better, that's a problem. But let's not pretend that Allen is supposed to be at his full potential at this point in his career. Really good point, Nikki. And look, how much time do you give him? I don't know the answer to that. I've been thinking about that a lot this week, Steve. 20 NFL starts, it's not insignificant, but it's certainly not a lot of NFL starts. At what point, how much patience do you have, I guess? I still have patience with Josh Allen. I still believe he's going to get better. I think we're seeing it gradually, slowly, not as quickly as many people had hoped. But it's an interesting question, and he's right. You know, not too long ago, quarterbacks would sit and wait and watch and learn, and then maybe play after a couple of years.
Right. I don't know how far down this rabbit hole you want to go with. Well, he's playing at an early age, and he might have had a chance to be mentored by an older guy. You got him on a 5-year contract. He's less than 2 seasons into it. You don't have to make a decision about that long term for a long time. So, you know, it's just like the rest of the team. You better love him for the next couple of years, because you're going to see a lot of him, and we're going to watch every snap and every throw that he makes. And I think we'll all have a really good idea of who he is, you know, then. But right now we just get glimpses of it.
Yeah.
And we'll see.
All right, we got more to come. We got Ryan Fitzpatrick scheduled to be on the show and much, much more. Come on back. One Bills Live presented by Kalata Health from the Seneca Studio in Orchard Park on Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back. One Bills Live. John Murphy, Steve Tasker. Bills practice has ended, and we are joined in studio by Bills nickel corner Taron Johnson right off the practice field. Pads on and everything. Are you warm? You came in here to warm up, didn't you, Taron? Pretty much.
I definitely did. It's about 20 below outside, man.
We got it cranked up in here. You feel good. It feels good, right?
I do feel good.
Hey, we got Ryan Fitzpatrick coming up on the show in about 10 or 15 minutes. Give us a question for him. What would you want to know from Fitz?
How is he so fearless? I feel like he plays fearless.
Yeah, I think that's a good point.
I like that as a quarterback.
Yeah. What do you think of him? Just kind of a different type of quarterback. He ran for a touchdown here last month, and he'll hang in there and take hits. That's the fearless part you talk about, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's a dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's been on 8 teams.
Mm-hmm.
8. That's like and he's thrown a touchdown for each of those 8 teams. He's the only guy in history to do it. So he's done some kind of cool stuff. But he does bring a little something different to the offense. What do you notice watching film with this Dolphins team that you saw a month ago?
I feel like he's definitely good with bringing guys along, you know. Just he has control of the offense, and he's a real leader. And you can tell that he's been in the league for a number of years.
Yeah. They seem to – they won a couple in a row, and, you know, they were here a month ago. They seem to be they've come together a little bit, it seems, right? You must see that from – it's only a month ago you watched their first five games. Now you see almost a different team, even though the names might be the same. What do you think?
Well, yeah, even when they played against us, I feel like they had a fire about them, you know. So we just got to make sure – we're not looking past any teams ever. So we're just making sure we're in tune to this game coming on Sunday.
What's the locker room vibe coming off a close loss, tough loss on the road in Cleveland, coming back, trying to, you know, start the process again? Mm-hmm. I mean, how what's the vibe like?
Just getting back to the fundamentals, really. Just making sure that the mistakes we made in the Browns game, we just want to correct them, learn from them, and get better moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Bills corner Taron Johnson in studio with us in his second year with the Buffalo Bills. Were there a lot of defensive mistakes? I mean, you held that team to 19 points. The defense scored two of Buffalo's points. Is it hard to find places where you can get better defensively in this?
If you watch the film, it's not hard
really?
To get better.
What do you see?
I don't think so. Just as far as our tackling goes, I feel like we could tackle a lot better, me included, you know what I'm saying, and gap integrity. So those two things I feel like will help the defense.
As a nickel corner, you, I would think, have a bigger role to play in run defense than maybe anybody else on the back end, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say nickel's kind of like a strong safety position, you know, just closer in the box.
You've got some different guys coming at you from their skill positions offensively. They've lost a couple of guys to IR. They got a different running back and a different big time. The number one wide receiver is now Wilson's out of there. Is that right? Wilson's his last
Preston Williams.
Preston Williams. I'm sorry. Williams is out of there now. Mm-hmm. How does that change their philosophy, or what do you notice is going to be different about them because of the change in personnel?
I feel like they move different guys around. So one guy will be playing a slot, then he'll go outside. Just things like that, I'd say. And just basically just putting the offense on the shoulders of Fitzpatrick.
Mm-hmm. Taron Johnson, our guest, Bills corner. Have you found, and I'm talking about the entire defense, I mean, first four games you guys are giving up like 84 yards average per game on the ground. The last five, it's like 140 yards per game. Are teams attacking you differently with their rushing attack than they were maybe the first couple of games this season from what you've seen?
Yes.
How are they doing it?
Just they're running the ball more, you know what I'm saying? I feel like we haven't been as disciplined as we should have been, like in our gaps from the last few games. And I feel like that's something that we're focusing on this week, is just making sure we're more disciplined and just playing with a little bit more edge to us.
Yeah, and one of the things that would be nice is to get a turnover or two. Mm-hmm. Did you bust Tre'Davious's chops about having one go off his face mask?
I mean, I'm not gonna. I didn't bust on his chops. It's just because he's made big plays, so I know he's gonna.
Oh yeah.
When that opportunity comes again, he's gonna be ready for it. And if the opportunity comes my way, I gotta be ready for it. And everyone else is gonna. We're gonna find a way to get the ball more.
Taron, you missed four games, I think, right early this year. Got hurt in the Jets game, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
And how have you come back from that? You feel healthy and 100%?
Yeah, I feel 100%. My body feels great. I mean, I played in four games since. So, I mean, that's just part of the game, just getting a little nicks here and there, but I'm good.
That's part of learning how to play, right? I mean, last year you missed, what, five games, I think, with injuries at the end of the year, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if that's part of your education a year and a half into the NFL, like, this is what happens when you get hurt. This is how you handle it. This is how you come back. Is that part of it?
Yeah, a big part of it is learning how to take care of your body. Yeah. I've learned that over these last 2 years, just making sure that I'm doing the right things to prevent the small injuries and the hamstring and growing, stuff like that.
How much of a part of your day or the daily routine of most of the guys is this sports science people over here? Because we were just talking before we came on the air, you have zero guys on the injury list coming into this week. Everybody seems fully healthy, fully practicing, which is almost unheard of week 10 or 12 of the NFL season. Yeah. Now, there have been a couple of injuries, you know, like Harrison Phillips is on IR, a couple of guys like that. But for the most part, you don't have any of these guys that are dragging around stuff. It really seems to be a healthy team. How much time do you guys spend in there? How much a big a part of the culture is that place in there?
I mean, I feel like the training room is a great place to be in. You know, I feel like I've heard stories of other organizations where it's frowned upon being on the training room, but I feel like we take pride in being in the training room, just making sure that we're healthy and just ready to play on Sundays. And then after the game on Sundays, we're right back in the training room trying to get ready for the next week.
Darren, you're a season and a half into your NFL career, a year and a half into being in Buffalo. How do you think you've adapted to the NFL lifestyle? You're a Western guy, right? Sacramento, Weber State.
Yeah.
It's different here, a little bit different, huh?
Not
just weather either, right?
So Utah, where I went to college at, it's very similar.
Okay.
You know, it's very similar here. And I don't know, the people here, I love the people, I love the fans, I love being here. So, yeah, I really enjoy playing here.
And what about going to Miami? You did not play in that game last year.
Correct? I did.
You did? You
that was my last game last year.
Oh, okay. December 2nd it was.
Yeah, you sucked it up and played a long time. Had the harness. Remember the harness?
Yeah.
Did you wear that anymore? You feel good?
It took
a toll on you, right?
Yeah, it did. It definitely did. And kind of on my mind too a little bit. But, you know, I feel good now, and I'm just excited to keep going.
We're excited to have you here, Taren. Thanks for stopping by after
practice.
Most definitely.
Stay in one piece, too, huh?
Most definitely.
Right, Taren Johnson, Bills Corner, joining us next hour. We got Ryan Fitzpatrick coming up, plus Coffee with the Bills. Come on back. One Bills Live, presented by
Kaleida Health.
Kaleida Health. How did that just drop out?
I don't know.
Coming in from the Seneca Studio. I got that one right. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.